Would you, with Jesus' joy, join me to give honor to this ministry gift? Our pastor, a mother in the house, the wife of a pastor, a co-laborer in the vineyard, all the way from the Stone Church, Berlin, Germany, Pastor Mrs. Shade Ojo. I call our pastor Sedemo. Blessed is she that cometh in the name of the Lord. Give God praise. Amen.
Hallelujah. Expression House, can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Glory! Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. I am so delighted to be here. I'm glad to be in your presence. I bring greetings from the Stone Church Berlin, where God is good. Did you get that? God is good. Hallelujah. I'll start by appreciating and thanking the senior pastor for giving me this opportunity. I do not in any way take it for granted. I joined the church when I was 19 years old, and the senior pastor, the lead pastor, and Pastor Mrs. have been a very influential part of my life, of my spiritual journey. And here I am today. I really want to thank them. I'm eternally grateful to God that I'm a part of this ministry. Please help me appreciate the senior pastor and the Pastor Mrs. Hallelujah. I also want to thank the shepherds over this house, this beautiful house. You can see the hand of God upon this house. The glory of God is upon this house. And I want to appreciate Pastor Fred and my sister, Star IJ, for the incredible work you're doing in this house. It's outstanding. We can see your labor of love. But above that, God sees your labor of love, and he will reward you abundantly in Jesus' name. I thank all the pastors in the house, the head of ministries, heads of ministries all over. Expression House, that was beautiful. You take the glory of God with you, the gospel of God, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you take heaven with you. Hallelujah. It's been a wonderful evening. The presence of God is in the house already. I want you to open your heart, like Pastor was saying. Open your heart and receive from God this evening. Let's open our hearts and receive from God. This generation, actually, the Gen Zs, are a very crucial part of God's end time plan. They are the ones that will bring heaven on earth. Who knows? Maybe you are people that will usher in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing I know is that you're a very, very crucial part of God's end time plan. So you're not ordinary. Can you tell your neighbor you are not ordinary? You are very, very special. You know, sometimes I like to pretend that I'm young like you. The other day I was invited to the Expression House in Berlin. And when I was going, I dressed like them. So I put on a hoodie, jeans, and sneakers because I wanted to blend. But I know I'm not that age. One thing that I would love to do is maybe to turn back the clock a little bit, back to when I was 20, with the wisdom that I have now. But I can't do that. But one thing I can do is share the wisdom that I have with those that are in that age group, and they can take the wisdom based on scriptures and run with it. And that's what we're going to do this evening, sharing God's wisdom together. One thing I began to do some years ago, I began to categorize all of my actions into treasures in heaven and treasures on earth. Treasure in heaven, treasure on earth. You could also say something that is relevant here on earth and things that are relevant in heaven. So I'll just categorize it into these two categories. And so let me just give an example of a treasure in heaven. There was a day I was speaking with a man where just about rounding off evangelism. And I saw a young man, we're in a park, and I saw a young man under a tree. He had removed his shirt because it was really very hot, and he was mixing music. He was a music producer of some sort. So I saw him with long hair, and you know. So I looked at him, I thought, well, we had been preaching to people and nobody really gave their lives to Christ that day. So I saw that young man, I said, he doesn't look like the type that would give his life to Christ. Well, let me just give it a shot. So I approached him. And I began to talk to him with the partner that was beside me. I began to talk to him. I told him about Jesus. And he said, yeah, when I was young, my mother told me about Jesus. But I tried going to church. It didn't work. So I just stopped. So he kept on saying a number of things. And I said, look, stop right now and just listen to me. Can you draw a circle? Just draw a circle in your mind. Now step into that circle. And then see Jesus step into that circle with you. I said, just picture that in your mind. And I began to tell him about my own story, tell him that Jesus loves him. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. Jesus, as I began to speak about Jesus, it's like Jesus came on the scene. Because this young man that looked so tough just began to shed tears. He began to shed tears. And at the end of the day, he ended up accepting Jesus into his heart. Hallelujah. Now, that is what I categorize as treasure in heaven. Let me give an example of treasure on the earth. Do you know in Germany that you are addressed by your degrees? I'll give an example. So if you have 2 doctorates and then you become a professor, you will be addressed as Professor, Doctor, Dr. Muller. They put everything. If you have 3 doctorates, it will be Professor, Doctor, Dr. Dr. Muller. But do you know that if you get to heaven and you say, I'm Professor, Doctor, Dr. Dr. Muller, is that recognized in heaven? No, it's just treasure on the earth. And so this example, treasures in heaven, treasures on earth, will serve as a template of what I want to talk about this evening. But before we do that, I want to teach you a phrase in German, if you will. I'll teach you a short phrase, and it just simply means, I love Jesus. By the way, Pastor Fred speaks good German. I think, yeah, it's impressive. He can communicate in German, isn't it? We do that. So, I'll teach you a phrase. It's Ich liebe Jesus. Ich liebe Jesus. Maybe media will help us to do that. Can you put that up, please? Let's say that. Ich liebe Jesus. One more time. Let's hear it. Let's do that. Come on. One more time. Ich liebe Jesus. Now you know some German. Appreciate yourselves. Hallelujah. So let's get into God's word right away. Do you have your Bibles here? That was just an appetizer. We're going to God's word. We're going to our main text in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke 10 verse 38. And it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, Jesus said, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Hallelujah. Now I'm of the opinion that it was Martha that invited Jesus. She gave Jesus the invitation, because the Bible makes us realize that she was the one that received him into the house. And it also mentions that it was her house. So I can just imagine that Jesus knocks the door and Martha goes there, opens the door and welcomes Jesus into the house. And then she offers him a seat and probably offers him some water and then says, Jesus, thank you for coming. I just want to put a few things together. I'll be right back. And then she disappears. And then Mary comes on the scene and then sits, like we see in verse 39, that she sat at the feet of Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus. And I just want us to look at that, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let's pick out 3 points from that. What does sitting at the feet of Jesus represent? Number one, it represents familiarity, friendship, and intimacy. Familiarity, friendship, and intimacy. And it seems to me that Mary was acquainted with the feet of Jesus. Do you remember that it is the same Mary that anointed the feet of Jesus with very costly ointment? And she wiped his feet with her hair. This same Mary. So it looks like it was a favorite spot for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus. As a little girl, I would always be around my father. I love my father so much. I'm still using, the present tense for him because it's difficult for me to use the past tense, even though it passed 2 years ago. So I love my father very much, and I will just stay around him. I will be at his feet. I'll be beside him. If he sat on the sofa, I will squeeze myself somewhere around him, sit on his laps. And sometimes when we travel, when we are in the car, and my mother is not there, nobody could take that front seat. That seat belonged to me. So I was always around him. And that's because I realized somehow, I don't really understand why I loved him or love him that much. But I realized that he loved me, and I tried to reciprocate. It was someone, and he's someone that I could die for. I really love my father. And we can see that with Mary. Mary understood that Jesus loved her. She understood that. And so she was trying to reciprocate the love in being close to him, in sitting around him. And the Bible also tells us that Jesus actually loved the whole family. He loved Lazarus, he loved Martha, he loved Mary. And she knew that, she realized that. Do you know that when you understand the love of Jesus for you, it brings you into a whole new horizon? Just understanding that God loves you. Can you tell your neighbor, God loves you? One more time, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And one thing about Jesus is that when you take one step towards him, he will take 10 towards you. That's how he operates. Do you remember the short man Zacchaeus in the Bible? Do you remember him? So all Jesus wanted to do, I think that's in Luke chapter 12, all Zacchaeus wanted to do was to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus and he just wanted to see him, but it was a short man. So he thought, okay, this is what I'll do. When he comes around, I'll climb up a tree. And so Zacchaeus climbed up the tree as Jesus was coming into the city. Now Jesus got to the spot where Zacchaeus was and looked up into the tree at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm coming to your house. And we know the rest of the story. So when you take one step towards him, he'll take 10 towards you. And by the way, this is just my opinion. I think that Jesus loves short people. I might be biased. but I think so. Let me just tell you a short story. Now, when I studied at the University of Ibadan here, and when I began to know my husband, there was this friend of mine, a close friend of mine then, that she noticed that it looks as if Shade really likes this guy. And then she began to tell me, Shade, be careful, you can't marry this guy. He's too short for you. He is too short. You can't marry him. And then she began to become very loud. She saw that it's really getting serious. But as she was saying it, it was entering here and going out the other way. Why? Because I was already in love. Nobody could stop it. Yeah. So short or not short, I didn't care. And I wonder, why do the ladies go for the tall, dark, and handsome ones? Who is going to marry the short ones? And who's going to marry them? Someone has to marry them. And so I didn't listen. And other people said it. You need to marry someone taller than you. I didn't care. You know one thing I thought, dynamites come in small packages. Yeah. And my husband is a giant, I tell you. He's a giant. He's loaded spiritually. Amongst other things, he's loaded spiritually. He loves Jesus And so I'm glad. And you know, see the package I would have missed if I listened to them. Thank God I did not listen. I've got something good. Amen. Hallelujah. So the point is, when you take a step towards Jesus, he will take 10 steps towards you. He would move. When he sees that desire in your heart that you want to be with him, you want to stay close to him, he draws you close to himself. He draws close to you. Hallelujah. So we'll see Mary. And Mary really loved Jesus, wanted intimacy with Jesus. She wasn't seeking him for anything. Do we see that? She didn't ask for any requests. She didn't make any requests. She just sat at his feet. It's a place, that sitting at his feet is a place of familiarity. It's a place of friendship. It's a place of intimacy. And when you get to see his face, I tell you, you get to see his hands as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move on. So number one, it's a place of familiarity, friendship, intimacy. Number two, it's a place of absolute submission and surrender. It's a space where you are eager to learn and to follow. A place of absolute, and note the word absolute, absolute submission and surrender. And you know, Jesus is our lover. Jesus is our friend. Jesus is there for us. But guess what? Jesus is not our mate. He's not your mate in any way. Can we say that Jesus is not your mate? He's our Lord, and he occupies the position of lordship. Have you noticed that he doesn't give advice? He gives commands. He gives instructions, and we're expected to follow his instructions. That place is the place of lordship. That space is the space where Jesus alone occupies that space of lordship. I know we love to cherry pick and pick out, okay, I'll obey this. This one suits me, so I'll obey it. This one doesn't really suit me, so I'll not obey. No, we are to obey all his commandments. The Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. They are good for your life. Every commandment in the Bible, they are good for your life. They are there to make your life good. And so we submit to his instructions. We are eager to be disciples. We put Jesus in his rightful place as our Lord. Number three, sitting at his face, that position, it's a place of alignment and reorientation. A place of alignment and reorientation. And it's a place of imitation. We sit there. We tailor our lives to suit him. We try to imitate him. We imitate him. We follow him. So it's not the other way around. He leads, we follow. He leads and we follow. And that's what we say in John 10 and verse 4. He said, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And when I bring out my sheep, I lead and they follow. He leads and we follow. Amen. He leads and we follow. That's the way it is. And there are times that men may applaud you, the things you're doing, but Jesus is not applauding you. Men may be singing your praises, but Jesus is not doing that. At his feet, we listen to him and we hear his voice. Follow him. We follow him. And we try to get his applause. Not the applause of men, but the applause of Jesus. Because people tend to put their best goods at the window. But Jesus is not deceived by the bling and the glitter, because he can see right into our hearts. And so we try to align our hearts, our lives, our philosophies, our idiosyncrasies, the way we think, the way we process our thoughts. We try to align them to suit him and to suit his word, because he is the Lord. And we try to align ourselves, align our lives to him. 1 Samuel 16. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, the Lord was speaking unto Samuel, because Samuel was going to choose the next king of Israel. And so the Lord said unto Samuel, when the sons of Jesse came before Samuel and was going to choose one of them, Eliab the firstborn stepped forward. And Samuel said in his heart, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And then the Lord spoke the words. He said, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Because what? I have refused him. On the outside, he looks like the next king. But God was looking at the heart. And God said, I have refused him. May God never refuse you. May God never reject you. He said, I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? On the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. And so we should align our hearts to suit the Lord Jesus. We allow him to shape our culture. Our culture is a Jesus culture. Can we say that? Our culture is a Jesus culture. That's our culture. We allow him to shape our beliefs. We allow him to shape our lives. We tailor our lives to suit him. Let him determine the things that you do and the things that you don't do. Christ is our celebrity. He's the one that we celebrate. We imitate Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've looked at Mary. Let's look at Martha now. Let's look at Martha. So Martha, she went about serving Jesus. She was definitely under a lot of stress, running helter-skelter and doing this. She was going through a rigmarole of service, just running up and down. And then in verse 40 of Luke 10, let's go back there to our main text, Luke 10 and verse 40. It says there in Luke 10, 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Be it her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Let's make some points on Martha. Number one, distraction. Distraction. And Pastor Fred was talking about that before in the service, earlier in the service. Distraction. She was distracted with service. She was distracted with the non-essentials. You have ignored the, she ignored the essential to focus on the non-essentials. And that brings me to the title of this message, The Essential. The Essential. Martha focused on non-essentials and she ignored the essential. And so Jesus was telling her, you have ignored the essential to focus on the non-essentials. Nothing should take the place of intimate fellowship with Jesus. Nothing should take or occupy that space. And we live in, at this time and age, there's so much nonsense, like Pastor Fred was saying, so much nonsensical stuff out there. So much rubbish, things that don't benefit your life in any way. And then you take the time and you focus on those things. Things that are of no relevance to your purpose or destiny. Things that will not do you any good. Things that are of no eternal value. Things that are not treasure in heaven. And, you know, you spend time on those things. There are times that those things are okay, but you don't spend time. You shouldn't spend time on them. And so this was what Martha was doing. Things that were not important. Things that the preacher in Ecclesiastes called vanity. He said, vanity upon vanity. All is what? Vanity. All is vanity. Martha was distracted. And in this society, in this present age, we are bombarded on every side. The youths, the Gen Zs, are bombarded on every side with all this celebrity status, all this social media stuff, all sorts of nonsense going on. You know, you celebrate celebrities, you do all sorts of comments and likes on social media. You waste time to get comments and likes on social media, just to get people's applause, just to get people's, you want them to approve of you, their approval, and you spend your life doing that. You do all this, is it leg work and all that, spend time learning all these dance steps. They're okay, but you don't spend your life with them. There are things that are essential, there are things that are beneficial to you, and that you will be rewarded for in heaven. Amen. So she was distracted, that's number one. Number two, she had a misconception. She thought she was pleasing the master. So she came to Jesus. Jesus, I'm serving. Can't you please tell Mary to join me? I'm serving. I'm doing this. And Jesus said, no, Mary chose the essential. Mary chose the right thing. And there is a need for us to begin to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. Can you ask your neighbor, how does Jesus see you? One more time, how does Jesus see you? There was this church, the church in Sardis, in Revelation 3 and verse 1. And Jesus told them, he said, look, you think you are alive. In fact, you have a reputation for being alive, but indeed you are dead. So they thought they were alive. They thought they were doing well. They thought they were thriving. Jesus said, no, you are dead. You are rotten. You're not alive. We need to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. And at his feet, we begin to see ourselves the way he sees us. There's another church, the church in Laodicea, and they had this CV. They had the CV, and Jesus said, look, this is a fake CV. They gave themselves 5 stars. Jesus gave them 1 star. Maybe we should look there. The church in Laodicea, Revelation 3 and verse 17. All right. So this was what they said about themselves. They said, I am rich, increased with good. I have need of nothing. And Jesus said, you don't know that you are wretched. You are miserable. You are poor. You are blind and naked. Can we see the two conflicting opinions? They had this opinion about themselves, and Jesus had another opinion about them. What is Jesus' opinion about you? In Revelation 3:16, he told them, said, look, you are lukewarm, and I am disgusted. I want to spill you out of my mouth. But they thought they were doing well. They thought they were thriving. You need to find out the opinion of Jesus about you. What does he think about you? What does he think about you? The church thought they were rich, but they were poor and bankrupt. So two conflicting opinions. And that brings us back to Mary. Mary chose the essential. Mary chose the essential. Jesus is the quintessential figure on this planet. Jesus is the most essential personality on this planet. And Jesus is the only thing that matters. I've worked with Jesus for 40 years. I knew him when I was 7. Someone told me about Jesus, and I could understand the love of Jesus for me. I could somehow relate the love of Jesus to the love of my father. So when they told me that Jesus loves me, that lady, God bless her soul, wherever she is, I accepted Jesus into my life. And for 40 years, I've walked with him. And that's the most beautiful thing that has happened to me in my whole existence. Accepting Jesus into my life. He is the most essential one, the special one. And fellowship and intimacy with him is so important. It's so important. It's of the essence. Nothing qualifies to take that space of your fellowship with Jesus. We need to make time for Jesus every single day of our lives. We need to create that space for him where he is Lord alone, where he occupies that space alone. That space belongs to him. You can't push Jesus to one side. You can't say, Jesus, stay there, and this seat, the Lordship seat, I'm going to occupy it. Jesus says, no, I don't share the seat of Lordship with anybody. I don't share the stage with anyone. He doesn't sit at the passenger seat. He sits at the driver's seat. Amen. That is his place. And we need, and that's my cry this evening, that's the cry of my heart, that we will bring Jesus back to his rightful place as the essential one, as the Lord of our lives. We will begin to declutter and throw away things that are nonsensical, things that are of no essence to your destiny and to your purpose and to your assignment on this earth. Amen. Are we all ready to do that? We'll put Jesus back in his place. Let your thoughts be full of him. Let's spend your days serving him. Let's take an example. If we look at a tablet, a drug, a capsule. You know, when you look at a capsule, it's made of some components. And so there's the filler there, there's the binder, there's the lubricant, there's a coloring agent, there's a preservative, and all these components are there. But the thing that will make the drug function is the active ingredients. So all those things don't really matter. If you put all those things together and you leave out the active ingredient, it will just be a placebo. If you have headache and you take it without the active ingredients, the headache will remain. So, but once you put the active ingredients there, and then you can put all these other components, and then that's when you have a drug that will be functional. And there are times that what we are doing, even in churches, you see big churches with a lot of people and a state-of-the-art facility, and Jesus is not really the king there. Jesus is not the one holding the show and setting the stage. Jesus is somewhere at the corner. That's like a drug that is just a placebo. We need to make Jesus the active ingredient. Amen. In your life, you need to make him the active ingredient. You need to put him, he needs to sit at that seat of lordship. Put him on his rightful place. Amen. And let's begin to get rid of those things that are not essential. Let's begin to get rid of them. Hallelujah. Jesus wants fellowship. He craves for fellowship. He wants to love you. He wants to be able to fellowship with you. I'm talking about intimate fellowship, where you create time to worship him. You spend time with him in the place of prayer. You spend time in his word, listening to his word. And he is the Lord over our lives. Let him occupy that place. Let's align our lives to seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. Hallelujah. And things that when we bring Jesus there to his rightful place, everywhere Jesus is, heaven comes there. Heaven is created wherever Jesus is. Just bring Jesus into your life. Make him the Lord there. Obey him. And heaven is created. Hallelujah. That's how we get heaven on earth, when we put Jesus in his rightful place. Some time ago, some years ago, I have quite a large space at home, and so there's a lot of cleaning to do. So I didn't tell anyone. I got a robot cleaner. So this robot cleaner, it will, once you charge it, you put it in the room, it will go around the room and clean the room. I didn't tell anybody. So they just woke up one morning and they saw a robot in the house, cleaning the house. And because I didn't tell anyone about it, I named the robot Banuso. Banuso. So Banuso will clean the house and go back to its charging point. One day, Banuso had cleaned the house and was going back to its charging point, and it occurred to me, this is how we should operate. We should always be connected to the source. We should always be connected to the source. Banuso will take energy from the source, clean the room, and then we'll go back to the source to be recharged. That is what Banuso will do, and that is what we should do. We should never be disconnected from our source. Whatever you do, make sure you are connected to the source, like Banuso. Amen. And you go back to that charging station, and you get full again. And you are never far away from the charging point, keeping Jesus as your one and only source. You can't trust anybody. You can't even trust yourself to keep your life. But if you can give your life to Jesus fully, making him Lord, you will get heaven on earth. There'll be this heaven in your life, and wherever you go, you carry heaven with you. Amen. He is our one and only source. I'll begin to round off now as I give us some to-dos. Let's look at some to-dos as I round off. Let's open our Bibles. Okay, let's look at some to-dos, and then we'll go to the very last verse. Number one, remember to seek him on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Seek him on a daily basis. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. It says there, and you shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me, with what? With all your heart. You can't search for him passively. He can't be number two. You search for him with the whole heart. That's how we search for Jesus. We chase Jesus with the whole of our hearts. Praying the Spirit at least 1 hour. Searching the Lord. Going after him. That's number one. Number two, go after him like a hungry child. Go after him like a hungry child. Go after his word. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly. Let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of God dwell in you. And I'll refer you to this morning's message. The man of God was talking about how to focus appropriately on God's word. Please go back to today's message. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. It's so important. Moses was telling the people of Israel, said, look, you need to seek the Lord. You need to put his word right before you because it is your life. You can't survive without God's word. We need to dwell on God's word. We need to fill our hearts with God's word. And that's when you begin to create heaven in your life. Amen. Number three, live right. There's a need to live right. There's a need to live right. Let Jesus feel comfortable in your life. Jesus is not comfortable in some lives because he sees what is going on there. Live a pure life. Live a pure life. In this age and time, there's a lot of sexual immorality. And I know what I'm talking about because I'm a pastor. A lot of sexual immorality in the church. And we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of that. Permit me to say that when we were young, about this age, it was, and this is the word, it was sexy not to have sex before marriage. It was sexy not to have sex before marriage. And we held that there. We kept ourselves. We had the fear of the Lord. But today we hear things like, everybody is doing it. Cut me some slack. Cut me some grace. What is the meaning of that? The grace of God is not the license to sin. It doesn't give you the license to sin. You appreciate the grace of God and you live right. That's how to do it. Do you know that Pastor Mo and I, on the night of our wedding, we were virgins. He was a virgin, I was a virgin. And then when everybody had left and it was just two of us, we were like, Lord, show us the way to Jerusalem. That's the way it's meant to be. Help us, Lord, to do this beautiful assignment. Hallelujah. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. If you've made a mistake, no problem. God will give you a fresh page. He'll give you a fresh page and give you a new slate. But throw out the sin. Any type of sin. Throw it out. Throw it away. Tell your neighbor, throw it away. Throw it away. And keep yourself pure. For 5 years we courted. And not once did Pastor Mo suggest sex. Directly or indirectly. Not once. That's the way we did it. For 5 years we courted. And so it's possible. People say it's not possible. What is the meaning of that? You can keep yourself pure. Amen. A louder amen. Hallelujah. When your boat is clean, Jesus steps into the boat and heaven is created in that boat. That's how you bring heaven on earth. You live right. You live right. Amen. Glory to Jesus. I begin to round off now. Let's go to Psalm 34 and verse 10. That's where we'll round it off today. Psalm 34 and verse 10. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that what? Seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord will always have heaven on earth available to them. That's how we do it. We seek the Lord with all our hearts, with all our might, with all our strength. We give our lives to Jesus fully. We give our lives, our time. We spend our days serving Him. That's how you create heaven on earth, dear friends. That's how you create heaven on earth. Because Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, is the one holding everything together. The Bible says that He's the express image of God's presence. He's the brightness of His glory. He's the one that created it all. Without Him, all things were made through Him, and there was not anything made that was made without Him. All things were made through Him. He holds everything together. The billions of galaxies He holds together by the word of His power. He holds it all together. In heaven, the sunshine in heaven. That's where anywhere Jesus is, heaven is there. And that's how to get heaven on earth, dear friends. When you put Jesus in His rightful position, where you honor Him as Lord, where you say, Jesus, that's your seat, and nobody and nothing is going to take that seat from you. I submit to you. I reorientate my life, my heart. Please recalibrate my heart to suit you. And you do everything in your power to make sure that you obey and you submit to Him. That's when Jesus takes His rightful place in your life and you get heaven on earth, in your life, in your society, everywhere you go in your profession, you get heaven on earth when Jesus is at His rightful place. Hallelujah. Heaven on earth. These are days of heaven on earth. And you, dear people, you are the ones that will create heaven. You create heaven around you everywhere you go because Jesus is occupying His rightful place in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you just jump up to your feet and give the Lord a loud shout of praise? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I would like to give anyone Anyone that wants to, you want to allow Jesus into your heart this evening. You want to say, Jesus, I want to give you that space in my life. Come and become the Lord over my life. Come and become the Lord over my life. I want you to come in. I want you to come. And I was ministering to a young man. I preached to him in German. And at the end of the day, he said, my life is not beautiful. My life is chaotic. I said, look, if you want your life to be beautiful, all you need to do is tell Jesus to come in. And when he comes in, he will make your life beautiful. And that day, the young man, he wasn't ashamed. When I preached to him, he lifted up his hands and he said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. That means Jesus, help me. Come in my head. Come in my heart. That means Jesus, come in my heart. Ich akzeptiere dich. I accept you. And he accepted Jesus into his life. And I'm giving you that opportunity to say, Jesus, come in. Come into my heart. I accept you. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want you to occupy that position of Lordship in my life. If there's anyone like that, like I said, when I was the age of 7, somebody gave me that opportunity and Jesus came in and made my life beautiful. So I'll invite you now, please come forward if you want to give your life to Christ. Come forward, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed about, nothing at all. Come quickly, wherever you are, upstairs, downstairs, come. Come, let's pray with you as we lead you to the Savior, the one who will wash away all your sins. The one who will make you whole again. Anyone like that? Let me see your hands. Let me see. Anybody like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Anyone? Any 7-year-old? You are not too young to receive Jesus into your heart. You are not too young. That's the age I received Jesus into my heart. Anyone like that? Expression house, please come up. The choir, please come. Hallelujah. I don't see anyone. Anyone that wants to rededicate their lives to Christ, you can come forward. Anyone like that? You want to rededicate your life and say, Jesus, I turn to you again. I turn to you. I give you my life. Occupy the space of Lordship. Glory to Jesus. Let's sing Down at Your Feet. Do you know that song? Down at Your Feet. Feet, oh Lord. Do you have a song? Okay, good, good.
Is the most high place in your presence, Lord, I see.